Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Party people, what's going on? It's another Tuesday night vibe. You got the man in the building, man. Tiki Power Sports in the area. Listen, I just heard about something, man, like in the last 10-15 minutes. I don't know how true it is, but you know how we try to get it out there to you at after further review. Tiki Power, shout out to Rich, CEO, holding it down. Shout out to Ms. Lavina and all that, the whole situation at Tiki Palace. Listen, what y'all think about Michael Jordan coming back? Just for one night. The Bobcats are playing Miami Heat. And they're thinking about signing Michael Jordan to a 10-day contract. Well, he's the owner of the team, so he could do basically what he wants to do. And, you know, he's been practicing and working out with them. And he's thinking about, you know, activating himself and playing tomorrow night or playing when they play the Miami Heat. And, wow. That's kind of bugged out to me. But we want to get into a couple of things tonight, man. Baseball season, get ready to jump off. NCAA tournament was crazy over the weekend. Sweet 16 is in effect. It's just a lot of stuff going on. The number is, you know the number, 646-200-3838. Press 1 and get in on the conversation, man. It's a whole lot of stuff going on. Quick score check from Boston, the Knicks 38. Celtics 35, 7:15 left in the first half. Where do I start with this NCAA tournament? Man, my bracket is I started off real hot, you know what I mean? Then, you know, basically is the more games played, the more chance you have to lose. One of my final four teams is already out, Gonzaga. They went down, you know. They didn't show up, man. That's what happens. You don't show up and play in the tournament, man, you get beat. And, you know, all respect to Florida Gulf Coast. They gave it to Georgetown. They gave it to San Diego State. They just slamming and dunking all over everybody, man. And if you don't get a chance to watch those kids, they play Friday night and against Florida. And that's going to be a big game. But, yeah, they really, really, really bringing the funk in the tournament. And they're playing like, you know, exactly like you expect a team to play that doesn't have anything to lose. You know, they're 15 seed, which means that, you know, basically it was supposed to be a one and done for them. You know what I'm saying? But they're just playing above their heads, above the rim, literally and figuratively. So you got to give it all respect to Florida Gulf Coast, man. And I don't know how far they're going to, you know, get in the tournament or whatever. But it's always a team that ends up being like a Cinderella that everybody kind of like, you know, gravitates toward because they're winning when they're not expected to win. But these kids are just playing, and they're just really beating everybody, just outplaying them, you know what I mean? So if Georgetown is supposed to be, you know, a defensive team, they were just playing above the rim against Georgetown. And they just really kind of make it look easy. But, again, you know, shout out to Florida Gulf Coast. You know, and another thing to me about the brackets is, like, I think that if you have more than one bracket, you play yourself. You know what I mean? And how many brackets could you have? I just do one. Because that's the only one I need. You know what I'm saying? So if I do, you know, one or two or three or four brackets, I think I'm playing myself. And I'm betting against myself because I'm not picking the same thing, you know, the same team to each bracket. So, you know, shout out to the people who do 5 and 10 brackets and all that. But I did one. Three of my teams are still left: Miami, Kansas, and Duke that's still left. So I think I'm doing pretty good still in the brackets. But one of my final four teams is out in Gonzaga. So really, it doesn't matter where you ranked or where you are, or where you seated. Anybody could beat anybody in this tournament, you know. And looking forward to the games on Thursday night and Friday night. You know, by the time the games are over on Sunday, we'll have a Final Four by the time the games are over on Sunday. So everything's big. You know, a couple of weekends coming up now. Let's see what's going on. Baseball's getting ready to jump off, and opening day is on Sunday night. The Houston Astros will be hosting the Texas Rangers, so we get ready to get into that. Started with the couple of predictions for the season. Yesterday we talked about the American League East on After Further Review. I said the Toronto Blue Jays would win that division. I just feel like they went out and got everybody. They got Jose Reyes, they got Melky Cabrera, they got Josh Johnson, they got Mark Burley in that big trade from Miami Marlins. They got R.A. Dickey from the Mets. So they're loaded. The Blue Jays are loaded. But the only problem that you may have with them is that their bullpen is not really strong. So if you could get to the starters, you might be saying something, but you got to score a lot of runs because that lineup is loaded. I had the Blue Jays first. I had Baltimore, the Orioles at second place because I felt like, the Orioles won a lot of one-run games last year. You know what I mean? And this year I don't think that they're going to, you know, do quite as well, but they won't do bad either because they have the manager, Buck Showalter, who's not going to let them, you know, slide back too far, you know. Last year, you know, they came out of nowhere to, you know, do some good things out there in Baltimore. But I think this year that, you know, they'll be around, but I think they're going to, you know, come up short in the end. I got the Yankees finishing third. Yep, that's my team, the Yankees. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to be like the Yankees going to win the World Series every year because they don't win the World Series every year. But this year with the injuries and everybody's a year older, and, you know, the pitching is really, 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 really suspect. You know, shout out to us for picking up Vernon Wells yesterday. But I don't think that's going to be enough to compete with these young guys that they got in Toronto and Baltimore. the most we could do, I think, is be a spoiler at the end if we're going to be there. And I think that the inclusion of the second wild card is really going to be something that, you know, might benefit us in the run. We might make that. You know, but, you know, the American League is crazy. And I had Boston Red Sox finishing fourth because they're not really going to do too much better than they did last year. Last year was just a terrible year for them. And I think this year they'll try to get some respectability back, but I don't think it'll be too much of a big thing for them. And I got the Tampa Bay Rays finishing last. They got rid of James Shields. They sent him to Kansas City in a trade, and B.J. Upton went to Atlanta. So I think that Tampa Bay is really going to take a fall this year, and I think they'll have David Price will be on another team by the All-Star break. So that's how I had the American League East. I had the American League Central as Chicago White Sox. I'm going to come in and finish, I think, third in that division this year. The Tigers are going to win the division. Tigers still strong. Justin Verlander, Prince Fielder, Miguel Cabrera, you know, and they got Torrey Hunter from the Angels to shore up the defense a little bit. I think they're going to do pretty good. They're going to win the division again. But the Kansas City Royals, they're going to really, really surprise a lot of people. They're going to, you know, I think they're going to do good again. They picked up James Shields from Tampa Bay. They got Irvin Santana from the Angels. They got a young infield, Hosmer, and Moustakas over at third base. So I think they'll be ready. They'll be ready to make some noise this season in the American League Central. Cleveland Indians will be right behind them. You know, they got a new manager situation over there, Terry Francona. They got Nick Swisher that used to play for the Yankees, and picked up a couple of other guys in free agency. Mark Reynolds. They picked up Michael Bourne from Atlanta Braves. So the Indians are going to make some noise in the Central. But I just think that, you know, they're pitching. They don't have enough pitching. Masterson and Ubaldo Jimenez are not going to get you over the top. Then in the American League Central, you got the Minnesota Twins who are just going to, you know, be be who they are. You know, They're going to be exactly who they are. There's a team that's just going to pull up the rear. And hopefully, you know, they'll have a respectable season. Joe Mauer, you know, and they got a couple of pitchers out there that can hopefully do some things to help them to win and things of that nature. And I think the American League Central is going to be one of those teams that may get two. You know, you may get two in to make the playoffs out of that division. That's why it's going to be really hard for the Yankees to make it this year, I think, because it's going to be, you know, a dogfight out of all of those teams. There's three good teams in the American League East, and there's three good teams in the American League Central. And we haven't even got to the American League West yet. You know what I mean? And I think there's four good teams in the American League West. You know, so there are five spots. So we add up the three plus the three plus the four. That gives you 10. So it's 10 teams for five spots. Everybody's not going to make it. It's as simple as that. So it jumps off on Sunday night, baseball season. Can't wait. Personally, I think baseball is, you know, the best sport. It's my favorite sport out of, you know, the major three or whatever you want to call it. But I love baseball. I can't wait for it to get popping. I love talking baseball. I can't wait to talk baseball this season. It's going down. I just think that the Yankees, you know, injuries, and we got old, and you know, we just kind of like ignored the signs that we were getting old. You know, Derek Jeter is 38. You know, and I remember when, you know, he was sitting on the bench in '95 when the Yankees lost in the playoffs to Seattle Mariners. So you know, and he wasn't even. It was him, Posada, you know, Andy Pettit, you know, those guys. You know, and now it's, you know, 2013, and you know, they got to start thinking about a replacement. They should have been thinking about a replacement for Derek Jeter, but you know, it is what it is. They try to get the payroll. The Yankees are trying to get the payroll down to $189 million by 2014. So I just think that, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But if, you know, we do what we're supposed to do, and you know, got to get some replacements for these guys, and hopefully we'll be contenders, because we can't win the World Series every year, you know. But I don't want to go another 18 years without winning the World Series. But we talk about the American League West tomorrow. I want to give everything away. The number to call again, once again, is after further review. GQ Palace Sports is in the building. 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. NBA. I know, the Lakers, man. We're trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think they lost three in a row now. And, you know, I just, you know, it is what it is. I just think that right now they got the eighth spot. They're holding down the eighth spot. And I think that right now they don't want to end up in that eighth spot. So I think for them, their mission is to get, you know, either that, you know, that seventh or that sixth spot. And because the first round, if the season ended today, the Lakers will play San Antonio, and I don't think they want to see San Antonio. I don't think they want to see Oklahoma City either. That's what they would get if they finish in the seventh spot. You know, so I, you know, and losing all these games is not helping their cause any. You know, they're 4.5 games behind Golden State. So Golden State's holding down the sixth spot in the West, and the Lakers are 4.5 games behind them, and the Lakers have 11 games left. The Golden State Warriors have 10 games left. And Houston Rockets have 11 games left, and they're 3.5 games in front of the Lakers. So I think it's a tough road to hoe for the Lakers right now, try to get to that sixth spot. You know, that's and I think you know, once again, once the playoffs start, who knows what's going to happen? You know, but I don't think that they wanted to be in the eighth position when they can, you know, at least kind of got to this sixth, or maybe even if the fifth is out of the question now, but. You know, they could have made that spot if they didn't, you know, lose all of those games. They're thinking that, you know, they won a few games, got a little streak going on, and now they're backsliding again. So we'll see what it is with the Lakers. But right now we got the Knicks popping off right now, 42-26. You know, we won four games in a row. Right now we've beaten the Boston Celtics up in Boston. I just think that, you know, the Knicks just got to get ready now for that playoff push. You know, it's getting down to the last, you know, few games of the season. You know, get Carmelo back, you know what I mean? And hopefully, you know, Amari Stoudemire have his thing together and give us some kind of help in the first round of the playoffs. It's 49-39. The Knicks lead the Boston Celtics with 2 minutes left in the first half. But yeah, I just think that the right now it's a good time for the Knicks. You know, Carmelo's coming back. Let him get his strength back and his win together, and I think we'll be ready to make a nice little playoff run. And everything worked out the way it worked out. We'll have the third seed, hopefully. Like I said, if we don't get home court advantage in the first round, I'll be disappointed. Right now we're in third place in the East. We're in the playoffs. The playoff spot's a done deal. We clinched the playoffs. It's a done deal. But now you're just playing basically for positioning now, So if the playoffs ended today in the East, the Knicks would be playing Atlanta in the first round of the playoffs if the playoffs ended in the East right now. Good looking out on the bell. I see we got that everything going on. We got T in the line. T, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show. You're the first call in the night. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
How you do?
I do.
What you do, what you do, what you do.
Ain't no need to complain. Ain't going to do no good.
Listen, I got beef with you, and I'm letting you know right. I'm putting it in the air right now. But when football season come around again, we play, Tampa Bay play the Eagles, right, in Tampa. So I just wanted to put it out there.
That's the beef you got with me?
Yeah, you come outside one day, you got toilet paper all over your house, you know who did it.
Well, make sure you don't get that address.
Yeah, that's what it is. But listen, on a serious topic, I wanted to get into a couple of things tonight. Here we go. I want to take a deep breath on this one. We about to go somewhere. It's been reports that in a couple of weeks they're going to be a prominent NFL player is going to come out the closet as being, gay. What do you think the reception and the response from the public is going to be?
Man, I was seeing something about that. Is it known who it is?
Nah. I'm not gonna even touch that one.
Whoa.
I'm not even gonna go into who is. It's been whispered and stuff like that, but it's kind of like to me my own personal opinion about it, and my opinions don't reflect GQ and all that good stuff right there, but it's my opinion. Right?
Uh-huh.
My opinion is like, you are what you are. Do what you do. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So, that's
the
problem. That's one of the problems in society right now, man. Everybody's got a label. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're labeled. You're either Republican, you're Democrat, you're this, you're that, whatever. It's like, don't worry about who what the person is or whatever. If they helping you as a teammate and they helping you to win, who cares about what they do off the court or off
the
field?
Exactly. That's just like if I choose to get high once I get off my job,
right,
that's my business.
Right.
Don't judge me. You can't judge me.
Once again, the views the views expensive. Oh man. Okay. If you choose to get high.
Seriously. Whatever I do off that clock is
right.
My business. What I do in my home is my business.
Right.
But
it's like, I understand what you're saying, but you got to look at it from the perspective of the corporations or the companies too, right? So if they hiring T for their job, right, and T gets high off the clock or when T is at home, whatever, which is her own business, right? Now say T gets caught up. Now that's the same. We just talking hypothetically now, right? T's walking home by the whole business, right? She just stopped in the bodega to get a white owl, a duchess.
And that pops my mouth.
Then all of a sudden, the cops pull up on T, and T got a bag of that fire on her. You know what I'm saying? But she also, but hold up, hold up. She also got her job ID in her pocket. Bang. So now it just got real all of a sudden. Because they don't care what you do off the clock, but you got their ID in your pocket when you get, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you see where I'm going with it?
Yeah.
So now it's like you go from being, you know, just regular, you know, T, you know, the, you know, the, you know, person, society or whatever, to T from both, you know, XYZ company.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now you're not just T, you're T from XYZ company, got, you know, stopped by the police or whatever, whatever. So you representing them, and now you, you know, now they find out that you're doing, you know, whatever you're doing, and now it's a problem. But you wasn't doing it on their time. You was doing it on your time. But you still was representing them because you had their ID in your pocket. You
right.
understand?
Yeah.
Still?
They gonna be mad at me.
It, yeah, they gonna be more than mad at you.
Yeah,
they gonna take back your pocket space.
Dear, there's a charge on teeth.
Oh man,
you know, but in the same breath, and at the end of the day, you know, hey, obviously this dude been what he is for a while.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, they're saying that it's gonna be more about, you know, worry about what the fans are going to say and things of that nature. Because I think that in the locker room, you know, it's a thing where, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard, you know, because you're going to have people that's going to be on some, you know, some rah-rah about it. Might not be too comfortable. You know what I mean? They might not be too comfortable about it or whatever. But that's locker room humor. But, I mean, you know, you're just going to have to be cool about it because you can actually... got, you know, someone that persuasion in your locker room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because you got to start thinking that these other players might be feeling some type of way, too.
Right.
Like, yo, I ain't changing in front of home.
Right. But see, yeah, all that's going to come out, too. So, it's crazy.
They may give him a percentage for him to be on his way.
But then you know what, though? You know what else, though? Whoever this person is, you know, God bless them and all that, but they're going to be the most popular person in the United States for about 6 months.
I was going to say for a minute.
They're going to be the most popular person. Everywhere they go, whatever they do, they're going to have people coming in and wanting to do commercials, wanting to be on their shows and be on Nightline and Oprah and everything. They're going to want to be everywhere. You know what I'm saying? For real, real talk. Because they're gonna, that person that finally, you know, made that move and decided to, you know, be brave and, you know, come out and just walk on faith. You know what I'm saying? And represent and be themselves. So they try to compare it to like a Jackie Robinson thing, which I don't think they can do. But
right.
It's just a situation still where, you know, you're kind of like breaking a barrier. You know what I'm saying? You know it's out there, but somebody who have the courage enough to say, okay, you know, I represent that. And that's me, and I'm proud. You know?
I mean, honestly, I wonder what made him. I mean, if it was hush hush, why you got to bring it to the?
Because it's always been out there. It's always been out there. Trust and believe
wow.
it. It's always been out there, but now it's like, I guess you know the times that we live in. You know what I mean? It's more acceptable that people are trying to, you know, give some kind of respectability to it. You know what I mean? They try to make you feel like a stigma, make you feel bad for, you know, talking about that in a negative way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I guess in the way that they're trying to, you know, make it, you know, kind of acceptable, or it's not ever going to be the norm. You know
True.
What I'm saying? I mean, I can accept it for what it is. You know what I'm saying? Not to be disrespectful to nobody, but
yes.
Me thinking about the come on now, you
really?
Know, for real. I'm getting, you know, we're giving you, you know, enough, you know, we're giving you just side of the street already. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
so I don't know how, you know, it's going to be accepted as far as, you know, fans saying stuff and making noise. You're just going to have to blow that off.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, as long as it don't affect him.
I think, there goes the bell. What's going on? There's the bell. We got, hold on for a minute, T. We got Kia on the line. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's good?
Hey, guys.
Hey. What's up?
Nothing.
Yeah, we was talking about this player that's supposed to be coming out of the closet, and what the reception from the fans would be.
Well, you know what? It is what it is. As long as he play, I guess it's a Charger fan will say they real or whatever. As long as he playing that ball or whatever, he's good. He's making his receptions on the defense. He's making his tackles. He's making his sacks. Hey, it's good. It's gonna be, of course, the other guys on the field. You're gonna have some jokers. The other team. Wow, this is gonna be interesting. I just can't wait. I just can't wait because I'm just ready to see the fan reaction, and not only the fans, what the players are gonna be tweeting.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
it's gonna be very, very, you know, serious.
And he's gonna have
big chin.
Coming out there and he's making a statement. But he got a lot of players. Don't get me wrong. He got a lot of players
Hold on, Kia, one second. We got Jeremiah on the line. Jeremiah, welcome to the Bigger Show, my dude. What's going on?
Hey, nothing much. We too funny with that. We gave you that side of the street.
No, I'm just saying, you know, no disrespect to nobody. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, you got to accept it. It is what it is. You know?
Hey, you don't think that it could never, like, think about the society we live in now. I don't
right.
know. Maybe because you on the East Coast, I'm here on the West Coast.
Yes,
in
sir.
Cali. Homosexuality is kind of normal. Like, these little girls now, like, all the girls are gay.
Yeah.
I never met a woman now that's not gay.
Where you live at again?
Hold up!
I mean, it's the Bay Area. But
okay, okay.
I'm saying, all the women nowadays are gay. Now, when a player come out and say he's gay, it's gonna be resistance there.
Right.
But I believe eventually, like, people are coming to accept homosexuality is normal now. You got gay marriage. Look, Obama, he's for gay marriage to increase his campaign.
Well,
that's on them, but over here at the East Coast, I'm the one woman that ain't gay, okay?
But see, Jeremiah, no doubt, man, I respect your opinion and all that. Like you said, you know, it seems like that's the norm, you know, like in the Bay Area, like, I guess, like San Francisco, around there, you know, whatever. But it's like a thing. I wasn't meaning no disrespect to nobody. It's just like, I don't never see that as being the norm. I see it as being acceptable because I have family members, you know, like that, whatever. It is what it is. There's no disrespect. But it's just like, if it was the norm, it would be acceptable already. You would already be, you know, you have teams with gay players or whatever. And as you know, it's in there. But it just has, nobody's taking that step out and say, it's me.
I think you know, when you look at the WNBA, can I ask you this question? Go ahead.
Okay, like the WNBA or something?
Yeah, you see a lot. You know the ones. I mean,
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not knocking it, but it's like, you know, you go stay in a dorm, and I stay in the dorm, and of course, because the when you get your junior year, you stay in a little different dorm, and some basketball players go on the floor, and then, you know, it's like, yeah, sophomore year, you got to share the bathroom. When you get your junior year, you never find a bathroom in your dorm. So, you know, you got to go down to the bathroom where everybody's taking a shower. So, somebody go down there and see if anybody's in the bathroom. So you all over the campus. Come on.
Well, I think 90% of female basketball players are gay any damn way.
Yeah.
But I think that in the WNBA, that's kind of more like the norm than the exception. You know
right.
what I mean? Because you
right.
got the players, they'll come out. You know what I mean? Because
right.
a situation you had with my girl from Simone Augustus. She played for Minnesota Lynx. Okay,
yeah.
she's of that persuasion, she's of that persuasion. It was a situation where they voted down legislation in Minnesota, and she was against that. Okay,
yeah.
she's for the, you know, for gay marriage and for gay rights and things of that nature, and they were in the state of Minnesota is against that. So
yeah.
I'm thinking, like, in the WNBA, you have more players that, you know, the women, they are apt to speak out. They're going to hold themselves down. They're going to be like, you know, I'm representing this, and this is who I am. You know what I'm saying? But it'll be different in the NBA because if it wasn't.
You're right about that.
If it wasn't, they would have been came out already, and like the brother Jeremiah said, it would have been the norm rather than the exception.
Right.
Well,
to have this big old thing about, well, in a few weeks, somebody's going to come out. In a few weeks. Like, it's putting some kind of suspense to it. Like, everybody's going to be like, okay, well, I wonder who it could be. Who it could be.
And
then you start whispering.
It's going to be Cordell Stewart.
Oh.
I'm joking. How long does slavery go on?
How long is slavery going on? Well, they just abolished slavery in Mississippi last week or 2 weeks ago. Word to mama. They just abolished slavery in Mississippi like 2 weeks ago. So it's been going on ever since. Ever since two weeks ago.
I have no clue what's the concept of that.
I don't know either. We up on our current events here after further review.
The reason I say that is because you say, like, it'll never be accepted. Well, slavery went on for 400 plus years. Nobody never thought that African Americans would be free. The world is
evolution
and change.
Right, but are we really free, though? That's another topic for another show, and
we
will definitely touch on that. But I know what you're saying,
definitely.
But I'm not, Jeremiah, I'm not saying it in the context of it's never going to happen, because that would be backward thinking on my behalf. But I'm just saying, like, and to prove my point, and to back my point, it's like, instead of just saying, this is who I am, and accept me, love me, or leave me alone, then why are we going to put this big pretense on it, this big subtext, like, we got to get who it's going to be and, you know, wait till the news comes out and all that. Just be who you are, my dude. That's what I'm saying.
I guess it's going to be different, like you said, with athletes and with military and law enforcement and stuff like that. Because they come out, you know, of course, they got to deal with these guys.
Right.
Every day. And you're going to be, there's going to be guys that's going to be saying stuff. We even know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Know with them. Come on, we already know it's going to
be
tough.
I knew it was something behind that tapping on that butt. I knew it was more to it.
I don't think that got anything to do with it. That don't got nothing, no.
Well, I just had to throw that in.
Yeah, I know you did.
Yeah.
But again, to Jeremiah's point, it's again, like you said, man, I hear you loud and clear. And it's a thing where, you know, is that going to be like the topic now of discussion? You know, when we watch the game, we tune in to watch a game, you know, after it's been announced that, you know, so-and-so is, you know, come out the closet. When we tune in to watch a game now, is it going to be, all they're going to talk about is so-and-so and how he came out the closet, or are they going to talk about the game?
If they know the game, they're going to talk about the game.
You know, sports is built upon storylines almost more than the game itself.
Right,
so
that's true.
The gay topic, it's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way to generate the money to keep people watching. Actually,
right.
when they intersect the homosexual population in the sports, it's going to be huge. Because homosexuals, they support shit.
Right. Watch, and hold up on that, though, my dude.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Don't worry about it. That's one thing. We don't accept that right there. We'll deal with a whole lot of stuff, but that right there,
Supreme,
just shut that down. It's all good, though.
That's in the Supreme Court now. They got that on their own calendar now.
But yeah, isn't the test case for what Jeremiah was just talking about is the WNBA, where it's like, you know, you see a lot of homosexuals at the WNBA games.
No, yeah, it's, that ain't got nothing to do. You know what? Like I said, I think Ordinary Roughness, the football game that come on TV.
Yeah.
They had a segment about a guy who on the team was gay, and they asked the leader of the team. He went to the leader of the team to ask him that when he come out, can you come out and support me, like, you know, as far as the team. So you got the leaders of the Chargers. Who are the leaders of the Chargers going to be? Are they going to come out and, like, stand behind this player and stand and say, listen, this is our teammate. He's our teammate first, you know. Because he is a part. He's a part of the Chargers. He's been
his 5 years or 6 years,
and as the quarterback, you know, and as the coach and the new coach come in, they're going to have to really stand behind this guy because they can't have no negativity in the locker room about because then everybody else around the NFL is going to know.
They're going to have a counselor somewhere.
Yeah, you're going to have a counselor everywhere.
They're
going to have to. No, I'm talking about characters on any other team, but it better not be no characters in the family. You know what I'm saying?
But then there's still, does the NFL have the right to ask, you know, is your mother a prostitute or, you know, what kind of girlfriend you have? And, you know, I mean, they kind of overstepping their bounds by asking all these questions and stuff like that. And it kind of like invades, you know, their space. So they're here for football. They're here to, you know, get scrutinized. You know what I'm saying? So it's already enough scrutiny already that you're dealing with now. What does it matter if you're gay or not?
I don't care. The game is already changing now. And like Deion Sanders was saying today, he was laughing at NFL today. You know, about the whole, how everything is so weak, so play. You can't even tap a guy. You tap a guy at the post. It's changing now. You can start seeing it now. So this coming out here won't be nothing new. It's just be like this guy from the San Diego Chargers. Defensive back, so-and-so, Ron Wilson says, I'm like, okay, fine. He's gay. Okay. Well, when are we playing the Chargers? That's all I know. As long as we beat the Chargers. That's all I'm concerned about. I don't care what we. That's not, you know, I don't care. It's not going to be a big thing. It's going to be some idiot.
Go ahead.
Would you draft a gay quarterback?
Would I draft a gay quarterback?
Yeah. He can play ball. He's a Heisman candidate. Would you draft him?
If I needed a quarterback?
Yeah.
If I absolutely had to have a quarterback. No, I'm just playing. But if I had to draft a quarterback and he was good and he was going to help my team and I could see him, you know, being my quarterback for the next 10 years, yeah.
Okay, an East Coast, because you're an East Coaster now, right? You've been in the Tim Tebow circuit. Do you want that coming to your team though? And that, you know, that could be a distraction.
Well, you know
totally
what? If he helps me win, it could only be a positive.
Right. That's totally
if he helps me. If he helps me win, with nobody have nothing negative to say. You know what I mean? Because you know, it would be just showing and proving that regardless of who you are or what label, that's what we were talking about. Whatever label that they put on you, as long as you're putting up your numbers and you justifying your contract and you making your money and you doing what you do, who cares about what you wear and how you dress?
Exactly. Because Tebow ain't doing nothing of what anybody's talking about him. He's doing exactly the opposite. Don't nobody want him.
You know?
In regards to the
Tim Tebow situation, I just think that, you know, again, with that, that was putting the cart before the horse as well. You know what I mean? It was a lot of situations where, you know, he was, you know, winning some games or whatever, but he wasn't doing it by himself. You know, the other team would put him in situations to win. You understand what I'm saying? He would give, you know, they would the Broncos. I'll take it to that level. The Broncos would give away the football. The other team would give the football right back. So now Tim Tebow, instead of a situation where he messed up and he can't win the game, now he has a chance to win the game. And what does he do? He wins.
And
so
look,
even though he couldn't throw on the line 10 yards. He couldn't throw a straight 10-yard pass. But he was winning. And then all that added up to the other hysteria and hype behind the Bible and how he is a savior and this and that. All he was doing was winning. And everybody was hiding behind that. He's going to be the next big thing. He's the next big thing.
In Tebow's defense, right? In Tebow's defense, you gotta put some value here, right? Tebow did not throw he did not turn the ball over. He completed two balls, but guess what? Them was two of the clutchest balls.
That's
in
right.
The game.
You're right on that. You are so right. Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something.
Yes,
sir. West Coast, we just seen Alex Smith do the same thing. A quarterback who can win you games, but also can turn the ball. Tony Romo.
Right.
Can lose you games.
Right.
I think turnovers is the biggest factor. And what Tebow actually had on his side, he did not turn the ball over. You got to get some value there.
Okay, so but and again,
there's
him
no
not turning
there.
And again, him not turning the ball over. He didn't. How my man say he didn't matriculate the ball downfield.
That's it.
He didn't get the ball downfield how it was supposed to get down. Now I give you a perfect example. Now kids gonna kill me on this, but I'm gonna give you a perfect example, Jeremiah. Okay.
Whatever.
When they were playing in the playoffs against the Steelers,
whatever.
Right?
We got lucky. You don't know what.
Okay. How long was that pass that he threw to Demaryius Thomas? No longer than 5-10 yards, right?
Yeah.
He took a slant. He took a 5-yard slant and turned it into a 75-80-yard touchdown. Okay? You didn't hear nothing about the touchdown. All you heard about was Tebow made the pass. Tebow this,
yeah.
Tebow that. Tebow this, Tebow that. Okay? So the next week they went on to play the Patriots and they got done.
Done. And then the
you know what
I'm
saying?
Get picked up by the Jets, they ain't do nothing.
The best thing they got out of Tim Tebow was a bunch of publicity. That's what they got out of Tim Tebow. A bunch of publicity. And the best thing that he did was when he did
that.
When
on that high. And you know, it makes it seem like he's the only one in the NFL that knew Jesus. I was like, are you kidding me? What about that crap?
Yeah.
I ain't tell nothing about Tebow,
against Tim Tebow some validity is when, y'all know more than I do, is when they lost the game and he said he was going to give full effort the rest of the season. And y'all remember those words?
When he was still in college and he was playing for Florida.
In college, and he did exactly that. That gave him all the credibility in the world.
Okay, he stood up. Yep, he took that. He did stand up and take it and say, he knows his team from the rest of the season. He's going to play his heart out. I remember that speech he gave. I remember that. You know what I mean? That endeared him a lot of people, but his faith was the thing, the quality that people that attached him to Tim Tebow is his faith, because he put that on Front Street. No disrespect to that. Not at all.
That's the number one thing in his life.
Right. And he says that.
And that's good. But they make it seem like he's the only one that has that, the number one thing in their life.
Right.
No.
But is that his fault?
That made people think like he was this saint that can't fall, get knocked off his pedestal, but he got knocked off his pedestal.
And people were thinking that, too.
He got knocked off his
pedestal. People were definitely thinking that. That he come in or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he got knocked off that pedestal.
But again, Jeremiah, like you said, my dude, I just think that, you know, again, Tebow, you know, is a perfect example of somebody putting, his faith, out on Front Street and not caring what the response is going to be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And once his star began to diminish a little bit on the football field, people stopped caring about his religious beliefs. Long as he's winning and throwing touchdown passes and, getting in the playoffs and doing this. Bible verses and everybody knows the Bible all of a sudden and this and that. As soon as you start losing, they're going to start disappearing like Esther's friends at Fred Sanford House.
And that was the biggest thing that was the mistress that was getting me. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you running on this? And then it's shown up. Okay, yeah, they beat us in the playoff, whatever. But as soon as after that, they just did us a favor. Yeah, I was glad he was not there. When he got to the Jets, I'm looking at him sitting over there doing nothing. Absolutely nothing.
And I just think that was a move. The Jets just wanted to, get the, swipe where the fire is hot, man. You know what I mean? They got a lot of publicity out of it, and that's basically that. But we here at GQ Palace, man. After further review, we got a hot one going on. It's the Tuesday Night Vibe. You know what to do. 646-200-3838, man. The mayor's in the building. I got Kia on the line. I got T in the building with me. I got my man Jeremiah, first time, long time listener and all that from the West Coast. Jeremiah, exactly where you from, my dude? Hello? Did he hang up?
I don't know.
All right, well, he hang up, whatever. So, T, what's good?
Same old, same old,
huh?
Yeah, just tripping about this gay player.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, ain't nothing. I'm just hoping
they can get the support. I mean, don't look at him differently now.
Well, you gonna get some support.
Well,
they're gonna
look at
it
differently.
Yeah, it's gonna be some guys. Gonna be some guys who be smart, you know, whatever. Of course, that's the guy. But his teammate, I'm hoping that they stand behind him because you know, but these are guys that got to travel with him, got to share locker room with him. These are guys that gonna see him more than anybody else. So it is what it is. I mean, hey.
That's what it is at the end of the day. But so Kia, what's good with this NCAA tournament right now?
I am so
What happened to Georgetown?
Oh God, my brother is so pissed. My other brother didn't pick Georgetown. I think he picked Louisville. You know, to win it or whatever. So, you know, the other one, I was talking about who was trying to pick. They were talking about, he is not happy. I think he's going to
They don't even need no slam dunk contest in the NBA. All they got to do is get them dudes from Florida Gulf Coast. Because they was buffing it on them like, oh, my God. Yeah. Then we threw that underhand alley-oop. I was like, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, yeah. What's going
on? They're
going
to get knocked out. Their little Sweet 16 is going to come to an end.
Yeah, you think Miami's going to beat them? I mean, Florida's going to play Florida.
Florida's going to beat them, yeah.
Yeah. Florida got it
that's
going
all,
on right now. Florida got it going on. Florida Gulf Coast, Miami Heat, they got it going on right now in the basketball tip.
It'll be interesting.
So no Steelers for James Harrison. That ship has sailed, huh?
Yeah, he's thinking about an open possibility about coming back, but he ain't coming back with the money that he wants to come back. So he's thinking that he's not coming back. So it is what it is.
They never do. Word up. So
Bills
yeah, man. You know the
pay.
Situation. You
Bills
know what I mean.
Pay that kind of money. They don't. Bills gonna pay big money out to receivers, to players. So you know, we were with state play, but the Rooneys are long standing owners that is not about you know playing because that's why Deion Sanders made that statement about all these guys coming to the NFL now. They just coming to make their money and leave. Ain't nobody thinking about no championships. Because owners are paying out this money. Like he said, one thing about the Rooneys, you got to give it to the Rooneys. They not pay. That's why they are the franchise of what they are because they have not paid out this money, and that's why they fix Lombardi. You're not gonna make a lot of money with the Steelers. That's just plain and simple. And Harrison, if he's gonna jump ship to go somewhere else, then you know, hey, I don't know. That's what it is. I don't, you know, what can we say? You come back with Peyton, let's pay.
Well, I mean. If he was to come back
now.
For less pay and he doesn't come back for less pay.
No, I'm not saying less pay. I'm talking about if he comes back for like, you know, you cut a couple million off, $5 million off the
But isn't
know.
That less pay?
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's gonna be like less pay than the movie. If he was getting $100 million when he played that Arizona game, that was 2009. He don't wanna reduce that contract. I mean, I don't know.
But then, Keith, you got to look at it like this. That's what I was getting ready to say. The climate of the NFL doesn't call for you coming back at a reduced salary.
I know what I'm saying?
You know what it is.
I'm just saying it's funny, but I know he's not, so it's
nothing. So you really can't blame him for not, you know what I mean?
I can't blame him. Do you think he can go? That's what I'm not saying. I can't blame him. I'm not saying
if that would have been the case, Elvis Dumervil would have stayed with Denver. But that was, you know, his case was kind of different because his agent messed up on that. But still, no, they would have took him back for, you know, for less money because, you know, he really did them a favor by messing
right.
up the paperwork. But Knicks 67, Boston 60, third quarter. So,
oh,
yeah.
That game's
so,
on?
Yeah, Knicks in Boston.
Oh,
I wanted to get into it. It's my time of the year. Baseball season starts on Sunday, man. The Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros. But I wanted to talk a little baseball. I'm not putting all my picks out. I just did the American League East and the American League Central. I'm doing the West and everything else next this week or whatever. But so Kia, as being a Yankee fan, did you catch up on what you were supposed to catch up on?
What time
the game is on? TNT, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm about to say. I'm not looking for MSG and.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's TNT.
Yeah, it's on TNT. I see it right here. Yeah, I got it. I'm about to say.
So, T, what's up with your Phillies, man?
Man,
Philly fan? You're a Philly fan?
Yeah.
He's a Philly fan.
Oh, you're not in-house? Oh, you keep it all in-house. That's Philly. Oh, okay. I didn't know. Oh, okay. Oh, we're talking about the Phillies.
All right, once you get all the laughing out the way, we're going to answer my question. What do you think about the Phillies? Hello?
I am on my radio
show.
Uh-oh. I'm talking to somebody.
Uh-oh.
Do you even know about the Phillies?
I think so.
Oh, let me ask her some questions. What the hell are you with the Phillies?
Oh, damn.
Let me get off the
phone.
The love boat soon will be making another run.
So,
Kia, what's up with your Lakers, man?
I told him I fucked the Lakers basketball. Remember?
Why?
Remember? But I'm not.
You would be. Why?
I'm not.
Why? Did you mad at them?
No.
They're going to make the playoffs.
So, no. I'm not fucking the Lakers basketball. You're going to talk the Yankees basketball, the East West. And I'm with East. You're doing the East now, right?
Yep, I'm doing. No,
oh,
you're
doing the West now.
I'm doing
the
West tomorrow. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it on the air. I'm not doing it. I'm gonna do my on the air stuff next week.
Okay. So you already. Yes, I'm like looking at the.
But we can still talk, though. We can still talk it. You can still talk it like you walk it. I'm good with it.
Like the Yankees being the third spot. I'm looking at, you know, but like I said, I'm just brushing up on the Yankees stuff now. First of all, I gotta find out who's playing, which I do know who's playing now. I didn't realize Ching Ming Wah was back. Oh, okay, what is he doing back here? Then all of a sudden his little he was on the China League playing in China, some China, I guess their little
Ching Ming Wah was playing with the Washington Nationals.
No, I'm talking about he was just in China at the He was just playing at China.
In the World Baseball Classic.
Right.
So what about Chen Ming Wong? We don't need Chen Ming Wong. We need somebody else.
I don't think we need him either, but I'm just finding out yesterday that the Yankees signed him again, and he was talking about he's glad to be back. You know, he's 33 years old. I'm like, wow, I'm old.
Yeah, he got hurt, man, running the bases. But, I just think that the Yankees are going to finish third because we don't have, we're just another year older, man. And everybody else has got younger and better.
Okay, let me put this to you. Okay. Let me put this to you. I'm sorry, this little piece of candy. The Yankees, okay, you put them at third, which
yeah.
I'm going to look at the whole thing. I don't know if they're trying to get, it seems to me that they're trying to rush that pitching staff quick. Like, get it filled, and, you know, if they start now, putting everybody in their slot, who's going to pitch first? We already know who's going to pitch first. Who's going to pitch second, third, fourth, you know. Well, second, third, fourth in that rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting because, well, you got Corolla's going to start. You got Pettit, who probably will be the second.
Corolla's going to be second. Pettit's going to be third.
Okay, Corolla's be second, okay. And then Pettit will be the third.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, what's the name, at fourth?
Nova.
And then Philip Hughes. If Hughes stay healthy, pure healthy.
Right, I hear you.
If he stay healthy, Pettit is no wash-up. We told him he could do that. I mean, he's no really no wash-up. He can get some strikes across the board.
And he got hurt last year, too. Remember he broke his leg or his ankle or something?
Right, so if he can help, if he have a great start, a great season, if the pitch no first five, the pitcher stay solid, and I mean pure solid. Who's going to play first with Tex? Tex is not here, so who's going to play first?
Juan Rivera.
Okay, Juan Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
Euclid is playing third, or?
Euclid is playing third.
Right.
Because A-Rod is out.
Euclid is playing third. I think that's right. Euclid is playing third.
Nunez is playing short because Jeter is
out. Right, but he's used to playing. He's not no work to the end. He's not playing, so he's used to playing that spot. You got what's name at center field. You got what's name at left and right. So I'm trying to figure out. We just
signed Vernon Wells. We got Vernon Wells,
right.
So he's gonna play left field. Gardner's gonna play center, and Ichiro's gonna play right.
So what's name gonna play when he come back?
Who? Curtis Granderson?
Yeah.
He gonna get his spot back.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
And then Vernon Wells will probably, DH will have, they'll have a platoon, a lefty-righted platoon with Vernon Wells and Travis Hafner.
See, I didn't read about Vernon Wells, but I did see the Yankees acquired him.
Yeah, we just got him yesterday.
I don't know nothing about that deal yet until I look at the whole thing. So I saw that, and then I saw the catching situation. I saw how the bullpen rotation. I don't know what he got on his face. What is he trying to grow that on his face anyway? I saw him with that beard on his face.
Ooh,
I don't know what that is.
Java Chamberlain?
Yeah, I thought, oh my God. Oh my God.
Looking like Super Mario.
Oh my God.
Word up, man.
I was like, oh my God. So I was trying to find that. Then I went to the Rangers. I'm up to the Yankees. I'm on the Baltimore thing. Okay, Baltimore look kind of good, but they could be shaky and it could be suspect.
Why would you say Baltimore could be suspect? Because they took the Yankees a game five last year.
Right, but they could be suspect this year. And you know what I say? Well, I say they could be suspect because, like I said, if our pitching is on, it'll be fine because CeCe is hard to hit against if he's on his game,
that's the thing that's worried. That's killing me.
I'm going with if right now until I look at the whole rotation. Everybody.
Right.
But Baltimore can be suspect.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the Texas Rangers out there. I look at the A's. Who else I looked at? Seattle.
Look at the Kansas City Royals.
I didn't look at them yet. I got to look at them. I didn't look at them yet.
They're going to make some noise this year. The Royals going to make some noise. Because the Royals got two of Tampa Bay's pitchers. They gave away James Shields and I can't remember the other guy's name, but they gave away him and somebody else.
Shields went to the, really?
Shields with the Kansas City Royals.
Well, I got to look at that. I don't know nothing about that right now. I don't know who the players are. Once I find out who the new, everybody's on the team. I know some of the old players, but I don't know who's all there. Red Sox look like awful. Oh, my God.
The Red Sox got a lot of bats. They got bats, but they just let go. Dice K. Matsuzaka.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They gotta really rely see if Ryan Dempster's gonna have a good year, or whatever. They got rid of they got rid of Dice K. You know, they got a lot of bats, but they got no pitching.
I looked at Texas, and I was at Cleveland. I did look at Pete Cleveland. Suspects too.
Yeah, everybody's. The teams in the American League is like Baltimore, Toronto, Chicago White Sox, Detroit, the Angels, Oakland, and Texas Rangers. Everybody else is the next level, and I put the Yankees on the next level because I don't think we're gonna do that this year.
Everybody gets suspect. I don't know. If I pitch in for the first four, can we win 13 games or not even 13 games? Hit more than 10 games, then we're good.
Then you gotta worry about the lineup though. It's wishful thinking to think you're going to have pitching and hitting at the same time.
I wish, but Gardner started off.
9 times out of 10, you're not going to get that. If you get one, you won't get the other. You know what I'm saying? So I just hope that, the Yankees, we survive till the All-Star break, and hopefully we'll be close to getting A-Rod back. You know what I mean? We'll have Granderson back. We'll have, hopefully, I don't know what to do with Marcus Scherer.
Glenn's going to be back before the All-Star game.
Yeah. But I don't know what the deal is with Marcus Scherer, man.
The Scherer's got a broken hand. He just got to heal that hand in the bone.
His wrist. He had problems with it before.
He just needs to heal it. He already had whatever he had to do to take care of that hand, that wrist. It's already in a cast. Rest that hand and get, they'll do what they got to do and tape it. And give him the bat. He just got to DH the bat. He'll just have to play with a bruised wrist DH in that bat. That's all.
Marcus Scherer.
At least he'll be able to play.
I hope so, man, but I'm not really confident about that.
The Yankees, but I don't know yet until I look at everybody else. And I got 2 weeks to look at everybody, all the new players
really
on the team.
The season starts Sunday.
This Sunday coming?
This Sunday,
April
March 31st, yes. Well, look at you. Can you applaud me giving Kia some information, please? Can you applaud that? Thank you very much.
That is all new right. information that I did not know. That.
That's
so
what
we're
we here for at GQ Palace after further review. We're here to,
well, you
to
know I need to,
serve
you,
the community.
You know I need to know. You know I need to know beforehand because I like to
Word
know because
up.
Somebody
going
keeps
down.
Telling
we're here to
anything.
Serve the community, cousin.
You
yeah,
know, you know, I don't do
and
this.
And you know, Houston's in the American League now, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, I know that. I know
okay.
that. Yeah, I know that.
They're playing Texas Rangers on Sunday.
Yeah, like, I know that. That's gonna be a good game for the fact that the battle of Texas.
Yeah, so they start.
And they were
talking
about. Remember you said okay, the Ravens are playing on the road, so. And somebody was suggesting, like, who you think the Ravens should play? I said, wow, it should be good if they play the Texans. Go, you know, play Texas in Reliant Stadium. They need to go to Reliant Stadium and play Texas, the Texans, on that first day. Hey, welcome home, you know, well, whatever. And they play Reed, because Reed's playing with the Texans now. That would be a good game to play, a good first game for the Ravens. They're not going to play us because we already played the year before opening day, so they're not going to play the Steelers. In 2011, we played them an opening game, so I know they're never going to let us play 2013 for opening game. I would love to play them an opening game in Pittsburgh. Wouldn't that be fun? But I know they're not going to do. I know they're not going to do Ravens that way this year. I think they should let us play the in Pittsburgh. But it looked like the Patriots could be a spot. They shouldn't let no team. If they say if they're going to play like the Miami Dolphins. It's fixed. I'm telling you right now, if they play anybody lesser or whatever, I know it's fixed. I'm not even dealing with this.
You're not going to deal with it.
The Ravens better play somebody like the Patriots, somebody like the Steelers, somebody
you
like
know
the Texans.
You know it's going to be, whatever game that they have, you know it's going to be a big game, opening night, you know what I'm saying?
It should be.
You know.
It's like how when the opening day for the Giants, who the Giants play? They play the Cowboys.
Right. You
on
know, so I think that
that's why they
should play us. That's why they should play the Steelers. They might end up playing the Steelers, so they gotta have something that's gonna be attractive.
And then they gotta come to Pittsburgh on their ring on their trophy day.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't see what the big deal was about. You know why the Ravens gotta be at home? Because you know I understand the NFL trying to you know make a tradition and things of that nature.
You know.
If it worked out that way, then it worked out that way. Then let them, you know, open up on the road. You know, teams open up on the road all the time, and let them when they have their, it's gonna be their home opener anyway. They could open up at home the third week of the season. It'll still be their home opener.
Well, it doesn't make a difference. Like they was talking about, and I was listening to Zero was talking about because you know they said the NFL is one of the most powerful organizations in all of sports. I'm like, you know, whatever. But this commissioner going against Buzz Seeley, and he's like, no, because of the parking, and it's like, no, they wanted the Orioles to play on Friday.
And that wasn't going to happen because it's a holiday.
Only a day game, right? It's good Friday. It's like you know whatever. And then if they were trying in the NFL, and Buzz Seeley said no, you all got to play on the road, and the NFL got why?
Well, I mean, it's a thing where you know the NFL's not going to win all the time. You know what I'm saying? Who would have thought that Baltimore was going to have that problem? Where you know now they got to make a decision where they got to have the Oriole game. You know, let the Orioles play in the daytime, or let them you know figure out their situation. Who would have thought that it was going to come down to that?
I'm glad that it did because this makes them got to go on a roll to celebrate their Lombardi, the whole their Lombardi.
Yeah, but
it's eating their fans up that they can't watch because they don't have a traveling fan. Their fans don't travel well like that. Yeah, they don't travel. They ain't no Ravens fans traveling that well. They don't travel that well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they gotta come, and which I'm hoping that gets to come out, I'm hoping that first game is against Pittsburgh up in Hines.
I mean, you know, if it's against Pittsburgh, so be it. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like. You know the Steelers are gonna, you know, do what they got to do, but they got, you know, they got some, you know, some making up to do.
Oh, major.
You know what I'm saying?
Major.
So I, you know,
they get a home game and they do what they do. It's all to the good. But I just feel like, you know, this season is going to be a great NFL season. I can't wait. You know, whenever the Ravens open up, they're going to open up and everything is going to be good. What do you think about this this rumor that Michael Jordan is supposed to be coming back to play for Charlotte Bobcats?
He is not coming back. He's not coming back. Ain't nobody even expecting Michael Jordan. He's not coming back. I can't stand it. Well, I'm sorry, I can't stand him. Never did like him, so I can truly say I could care less. I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, let's go. We got, I was waiting for the bell. There it is. There's the bell. We got Rich Money on the line. Rich Money, what's good? Welcome to the biggest show, my dude. What's
going on? What's going on, man? What's good, yo?
Everything is everything, man.
I'm a little sick, so yeah.
We're just doing what we do on a Tuesday night, man.
I'm a little sick, so you have to bear with me. But I heard, what's this about gay players? Homeboy was talking about.
Well, it's a thing.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Huh?
Oh. What's this about this? I heard gay players. I heard Michael Jordan.
Yeah. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be an announcement in the next few weeks that NFL, a prominent NFL player is going to announce that, you know, they're homosexual.
Wow. Then I heard homeboy ask something about, would you hire a gay quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He might want to get tackled all the time. I don't know, man. I'm just saying, you know, he might want to get tackled all the time. But, I'm going to keep it real.
How you doing?
Exactly.
Yo.
And the ball, you know, yeah, tackle me, you know.
I don't think that'll be good for business. But if the quarterback is good and they can play and they put up their numbers and they do what they do, I can care less what they do, yo.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know what I'm saying?
Now you said something about Michael Jordan supposed to be coming back.
Yeah. It's supposed to be some kind of deal with Michael Jordan supposed to be coming back for play for the Bobcats, and, you know, so they can stop the Miami Heat streak or whatever.
What do you actually think about that?
I don't know. I think he'd be playing himself.
But you know, I think a lot of old guys are actually trying to come back now. You know, even in the music industry, I don't know. Maybe this old time season or something. I don't know. I'm sorry, because you think about it. Who was it? Shane Mosley came back. Who else was it? Hopkins. Then you got. Look at this. You got the Phyllis Falls coming back. You got Grandmaster Cash coming back. Coming back. I'm like, you know.
What's going to be next? Hollywood Squares?
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, yeah, everybody trying.
Hey, man. It's the Renaissance season, man. It's the Back to the Future, son.
It got to be. As far as enjoying the way these players is right now, I don't think he have a chance.
I don't know either, man. But it just said that he signed a 10-day contract because they play the Heat on April 5th. So I guess he's getting himself ready. And I don't know.
You can
know,
wait
man.
For Kenny come and keep on
April
5th. It's not that late. It's almost 10 o'clock.
That's almost like 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Ain't
that much Gatorade in the world, man.
Yeah, you know.
Ain't that much Gatorade. Ain't that much. No, man. As far as all that is concerned, I don't think. That's just like, he'd be better off trying to go with Stoudemire right now.
Yeah.
As weak as Stoudemire is and everything, you know? But as far as that, I don't know. I can't actually see Jordan coming back. And if he come back, he's going to try to be on some flying thing, like use his legs and like they used to be.
And I think that's just it. I don't think that he's got that no more. And I don't know what the point of him coming back for one night is going to be. You know what I mean? I don't get it. You know, and maybe it's just putting out there to put something in the air. But I don't think that's what it is. So we here, man, Tuesday night situation. You know how we get down, man, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation, you know. We want to hear your opinion too, man. Your opinion matters over here at GQ Palace after further review. But yeah,
I'm
man.
Sorry, what was that last thing he said? I'm sorry.
About what?
About the about the players coming back in or something. He said what?
You just said something about ain't that much Gatorade in the world or something.
Oh, okay.
But how do you feel about that kid? With, about the you know about the guys saying that you know they want to come back, get back in the game. And
why ain't nobody starting these guys? I don't care. They ain't coming back. They ain't coming back. They just making a fool of themselves.
Just making a fool of themselves.
Yeah.
Oh,
ain't
okay.
Ain't nobody starting Michael Jordan coming back.
All right, we got Half Pride on the line from the world famous Center Berserk in the building. What's good, Half Pride?
How
you doing? Welcome to the bigger show.
Sorry I'm late, but
it's all good. You're right on time. It's all good. If you'd have called at 10:05, you might have got a busy thing. What's going on with you?
Nothing much. We're just working hard, finishing up our project.
No
doubt. I'm up here watching the Knicks and the Celtics.
No
doubt, disappointed in the March Madness, but, you know, I guess I'll get over it.
You disappointed in March Madness? What happened? Who let you down? Who got
upset for
you?
I'm let down by the over. See, I'm let down because usually I'm used to, you know, the big names, Kentucky, Kansas, you know, Georgetown, Syracuse, all of them putting it in and going hard. Like, everybody's a Cinderella team right about now. And I ain't mad because they all hungry.
Pump your brakes. You said Georgetown. Did you see that game?
Yes.
But Georgetown played.
Georgetown and Florida. It was a good game, but you know, I kind of felt like, I guess
they
Georgetown,
gave Georgetown
didn't think
business.
That they was, you know, they had to go hard. But
they gave Georgetown
was
the
hungry.
Business.
Florida was hungry.
They for real. And I kind of got a little bit of, you know, I felt sorry for Georgetown at the end, but not really because, you know, I'm a Syracuse dude, and you know Georgetown gave it to us. You know, in the regular season, but we gave it back to them in the Big East. We gave it back to them in the Big East tournament, though.
What I was looking at is how all of these teams that usually make it to the playoffs,
right?
Somehow they slipping off, and everybody else is hungry. These names
right.
You never heard of,
right?
Who ever heard of Florida Gold Coast?
That's right. That's
you know,
right, and then
you
know what?
They beating Georgetown, really? Come on.
You know what a lot of that is with the two half rank is that a situation where the teams with the you know the prestigious names and things of that nature, those are the schools where the kids are leaving after 1 or 2 years.
Yes.
The schools
yes.
that you never hear of, they got juniors and seniors.
Exactly, and they hungry because they looking
yeah,
for
yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
they'll
take
the minimum wage out there just so they can go get families. I ain't mad
right.
at them. I'm not mad.
That's
at them.
Right. That's right. That's right. So you know you'll get a Florida Gulf Coast that you know comes out of nowhere and wins. You know what I mean? Just like a couple of years ago, you had George Mason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They came out of nowhere. You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying? And so I think that that has a lot to deal with, you know, the kids leaving and the kids staying and those, making those mid-major schools. Now they're going to get some shine now.
Yeah.
Because they got kids that got the experience, you know what I'm saying? And like they said, and like the they were speaking to the coach of Florida Gulf Coast, and they was like, this is how we practice. We practice above the rim.
And
you know
I ain't mad
so,
at them.
Right, right, right.
You
can't be mad
like
at them.
They went out there and they, you know, they got, you know, they were blowing out. They were actually putting in work, and they deserved that win. They played
right,
hard.
Right,
they played
right.
hard. I'm not even mad at them.
Okay,
but
that's
it feels
what
like
it
everybody's
is.
Everybody's gonna have a lot of Cinderella teams more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that one team that stands out, and you have more teams that are standing out because they weren't expected to go to the
mm-hmm.
pro, you know to
that's right
to the
that's
playoffs,
right.
and they're doing they're putting in work. They're earning their keep. So I ain't even mad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are you keeping up with the women's tournament as well?
I'm trying to, but you know sometimes I kind of disappointed because I sister wish she was in shape so I could be playing.
I heard that. But I think that in Florida, that's what it is. But yeah, on the women's side, I think it's going to be the usual suspects at the end.
UConn.
Because you got UConn, Notre Dame, Baylor. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm watching right now Delaware against North Carolina because they got the female Elena Deladon,
uh-huh.
and she's like 6'5", and she averages like 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So she's doing it. They play in North Carolina right now, and Delaware's winning 77-69, so I think they're going to knock North Carolina out. Second
yeah,
round.
Yeah, no, I'm flipping channels.
Okay, no doubt.
Oh, so, you know.
Yeah, so I mean,
it just putting in work.
Yeah. Everybody's, you know, doing their thing.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And getting their shine on.
Absolutely.
We were having a conversation earlier about the NFL's active gay player is strongly considering coming out of the closet. And we just wanted to know in regards to people, like, they said that it wouldn't be so much of a backlash against him from the team or from inside the NFL. The backlash would come more from the fans. So I just wanted to know what your perspective would be or what you thought about that in regards to the fans, you know, and the backlash in regards to a player coming out of the closet.
I think sometimes we tend to look at the athletes and put them on a pedestal and
mm-hmm.
think they're immortal. And not really look at the fact that they have a life outside of the team and the sport that they play.
Right.
That's the unfortunate part because they can't live their lives and be who they are. I mean, it is what it is. Whoever you are, as long as you're true to yourself, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, sometimes as fans, we forget that. And we kind of, you know, we want that perfect player, that perfect person inside, on the court, off the court, on the field, off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you know, we forget that they're human.
Right.
And they're entitled to their lives, and we don't give them that. You know, and that's the unfortunate part. And, you know, he may receive a lot of backlash because you have those that equate somebody's manhood with the ability to play a sport as opposed
mm-hmm.
to, you know, him just being good at what he does and then him also being a human being that has, you know, a life outside of that.
Right, right, that's right. I mean, so, like, you know, even with the Manti Te'o situation, you know, and, you know, they made more of a situation about him, you know, being on the phone with his fake girlfriend
yeah.
than, you know, his on-the-field talents. It seemed like you forgot about what he did on the field for Notre Dame.
Yeah, exactly. Because, that's totally overshadowed.
But a lot of that got put on him as well because in the game against Alabama, he was just totally out of sorts, you know what I mean? And it was like, you know, it had to be on his mind because that's what that situation was really heavy, you know what I mean?
Like, yo, something's just not right about what was
right,
happening.
Right,
it just didn't sound right.
So I think that once you get past the initial, I guess you want to call it quote-unquote shock, oh my God, so-and-so is, you know, gay or whatever.
Right.
Once you get past that, you know, it is what it is. Now it's like, let's get back to playing ball. Is he going to start dropping passes now? Or is he going to stop making tackles because, you know, all of a sudden now he's going to be that, you know, the gay guy that plays football? I don't get that.
Right.
Everything is about a label.
I think the audience may start to equate, if he doesn't do well, with the fact that, oh, he must be gay. That's the reason why
mm-hmm.
he's not doing well. As opposed to the fact that he may just not have a good game. But
it'll
right. go back to his lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think
mm-hmm.
that's unfortunate because, again,
right.
you know, what you do off the field or off the court, it really is your life, and it is what it is.
Right. Right.
So
right.
you think mainly it's going to be society that messes up his game?
Yeah, Delaware just
society. Won. Society is keeping him from coming out of the closet.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and that might bring more harm to him than anything because if he can't be who he is, he may not be able to be productive.
Right. I mean, let me put it to you in this context, and I know it's not, you know, it's not the, you know, exactly the same, but, you know, we went from having, you know, we already know the history, okay? We had to, you know, we were the first black baseball player, the first, you know, Hispanic baseball player,
mm-hmm.
the first, you know, Russian baseball, you know what I mean? Now everybody's
right.
got a label, yo. Instead of you're just a good ball player, you do what you do.
Right.
You know what I mean? What you do off of the field is of no concern to me.
Absolutely.
Okay?
As long as you
show up on game day.
Up.
That's right. As long as you show up on game day and you do what you're supposed to do and you win,
you
can care less about what you do after the game.
Absolutely. But I think, you know, just society as a whole, we have that tendency to equate, you know, masculinity with the ability to play.
Mm-hmm.
And produce.
Right.
You know, and I think that, like I said, it is what it is. So, oh, just a note, Delaware did bust North Carolina.
Yeah. They gave it to North Carolina Tar Heels, Lady Tar Heels or whatever, 78-69. But yeah, we're glad to have you on the line with us. So basically, that's what we was talking about. We was getting into a thing about that. you know, because they, you know, they were really like worried about, you know, what the fan, you know, outlook would be. I don't think they're gonna stop going to the games.
No, but they weren't worried about those fans, they were worried about that money, those figures. But again, I mean, like, as I mean, if we're talking about it from a society aspect, aren't the gay, you know, that audience and that market is like really, you know, if you come out and say that, you know, you're gay, they're going to support you. So now all of a sudden you're going to have, you're opening up yourself to that audience now. You're going to have, you know, just because they're of that persuasion, that don't mean they can't root for your team or they can't buy tickets to your game.
That's true.
I think, to be truthful, if a person comes out and another person starts supporting them or whatever the case is, that means you was never really a supporter.
A fan of them in the first place.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
Exactly. It never had nothing to do with it. Exactly.
Yeah, you were never a supporter anyway. So your main thing was, you know, to see what you could get out of it or whatever. You know what I mean? As far as you're
right,
a supporter of somebody, you're going to support them regardless of whether they're gay.
Right. That's right.
And it's really that image. Out. Like, we're talking about that image.
Exactly.
You buy into an image, and if it no longer fits your needs or what you think that should look like, then you want to, you know, it becomes a conditional relationship that you have.
But looking at that, go ahead.
I think he's not worried about his image. I think he knew for a long time. He got tired of this, you know, whatever. He's like, look, I'm just going to say what I got to say, boom, whatever. Hoping his teammates, which his teammates should rally around him, if it's the Chargers, whatever, they should rally around their teammates. He's still their teammate, regardless.
Okay.
Yeah, same guy you played with last season four, same guy that's been a team 5 years,
right,
whatever. Same guy. It's just
and that same dude
out
that was in the locker room with you before you
that's
knew
same,
I was,
same
I'm the same
guy.
Dude after. Absolutely, I agree.
Let me take it back to Super Bowl when the guy Chris Culliver from the 49ers was on that. You know, he's you know, we're not gonna have, you know, no homos in the locker room with us, or, you know, we don't play that and that. You know, I mean, is those type statements like that from your fellow players or whatever, does that, you know, make you, you know, even more reluctant to come out, knowing that that's the climate inside the locker room? Now, we don't know what goes on inside the locker room.
He's not, you know what, no.
That's the part in the decision that you make, because you have to worry about your team. And if your team, like she said, if your team doesn't rally around you, then it kind of causes conflict, especially when you're on the field. You become a non-factor, or it becomes non-productive for you to work in that environment. It becomes hostile.
Mm.
His team has to be he can care less what any other team is saying, but his team is with him. He ain't worried about nothing. He can care less what the guy from San Francisco is saying. It don't make no difference.
You know what? At the end of the day, though, you know what I think? At the end of the day, whoever it is, God bless them or whatever, I think their team already knows. You know what I mean? They already have an idea. They don't know for sure. They already have an idea. So I don't think
they're right. I agree with that. He probably told two players. He probably confided in two guys.
I don't think all of them know. I think some of them know.
The whole team don't know. I agree with that. The whole team don't know.
But I'm thinking that if the whole team doesn't know, the people who should know and who are important, they know already. Whoever it is in the NFL, their team has an idea of who the person is, and they're just testing the waters, you know, to see, you know, they're gauging to see what the response is going to be. And I think that if they did that and they came out and said, this is who I am, you know, accept me or whatever, and, you know, they said it's a prominent player, so it's going to raise some eyebrows.
Well,
if they're
able to come out and not have that backlash, then you'll probably see it become a trickle-down effect with more feeling comfortable enough around their team and around the game itself that will come out and talk about how they really, who they are.
And like we were saying earlier, like whoever it is, that person that comes out, they're going to be a rock star. And I can't think of a better term to put it. They're going to be a rock star. Because they're going to be on all the shows, and how do you feel, and what did you think, and what made you want to do this, and what was your first opinion, and now you're waking up, and that it's going to be endless. So,
yeah, I agree.
Where does the madness stop? Where do we just say, okay, this is who this guy is, he may have a Super Bowl ring on his finger, he may not. But he may, in everybody's estimation, he's a great player. He's going to do what he's going to do to help his team win. Can we get outside the, you know, what he does off the field? Can we
I
get off of that?
Once society learns how to be tolerant, because we talk a good game, and it's all right as long as it's not the person that's next to you.
Right.
I think once society becomes really tolerant about the situation and can deal in an open dialogue about it,
mm-hmm.
I think that that's when people, you know, when the madness will stop and people will be comfortable about who they are and saying about who they are. Because you have
right.
prominent people that are in the, you know, in that life, and that's who they are. But they are, even as prominent as they are, they don't come out and they don't talk about it. Or
right.
either, you know, they are the ones that are so close-minded on themselves that they don't, you know, that they kind of project that self-hate to other people.
Mm.
Wow. You got to realize in society, you got more arrogant and ignorant people than you have understanding people.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a hard decision for whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
To come out of the closet when they come out, because they're going to have to think on both sides. And then when they play, they're going to have to think about how they certain teammates going to feel and how the opposite team going to feel. It's just like when Dr.
Right.
J came out and he got the eight. Nobody wanted to play basketball with him. When he played that time on the court.
But who
played,
came
and,
out?
You know, he Magic. I'm
Ooh,
sorry.
I died now.
Magic Johnson. I'm sorry. They both my favorite players, so I always get them confused. You know?
Okay.
But when Magic Johnson came out, he played. Remember, he got cut on the court.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah,
said nothing.
Yeah.
Everybody was down to the other side of the court.
And even
right.
Karl Malone's like, I don't want to play with him. Straight
exactly.
like that. You know what I'm saying? So. And again, like, you got to look at it like back then, 91, 92 or whatever. We weren't educated as we are about it now.
Right.
So
exactly.
I think that if we had the knowledge then that we have now of it, you know, Magic would have never had to go through these crazy retirements and people being scared and all that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but again,
that,
like you said, to your point, Mike,
he was able to bring education to
right.
it.
That's
to the
right.
forefront about it. I mean, even though, you know, the question is whether, I mean, how brother, you know, how the brother, you know, is functioning and don't actually have no traces of it is beyond me, unless, you know, I'm paid for a cure. But, you know, I think just him being a high-profile athlete and bringing it to the forefront is
right.
going to change the perception
yeah.
that he has about it.
Right.
I always say, you talk, just like you talked to a fool, and he called you foolish. You talk this to a fool and he call you foolish.
Right. But I mean, again, it's like a situation where, you know, I understand them saying, you know, safety first and things of that nature, and you have to kind of like watch out and it is what it is. But again, I think that for them to come out and say, you know, this is who I am, accept me, I think
right.
that would, you know, wouldn't put a scarlet letter on them. It would put as a badge of courage, a badge of honor for them to say that, because it would give other people the courage to come out too, because they look at them, they'll be on this platform. They already have a big, giant platform when they speak. Everybody's going to want to know what's on their mind, how they feel, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what it took for them to take that step, that leap of faith.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Point. Look at Frank Ocean when he decided
yes.
he was going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, yeah,
automatically,
right.
he shot to the top of the chart. And I don't know if it was really based upon the music or was it based upon the fact that he figured, you know, he was honest about himself
mm-hmm.
and what, you know, and wanted to bring that to the forefront, or was
right.
it both? You know,
right.
Yeah, I'm lost.
So was
Frank
it, which
Ocean.
One came first?
I'm lost on the Frank Ocean part. Frank Ocean came out what?
About being gay.
I heard everybody talking about it, but I didn't know it was Frank Ocean.
Yeah. And, you know, with that, you know, once you heard that, everybody was saying how he was brave and, you know, how he came out. And then, you know, they started, I think, looking a little bit harder at his lyrics and thinking, okay, you know, maybe adding a little bit more onto it.
Yeah.
And he became, you know, he became at the forefront. He's almost the poster child for, you know, coming out and being, especially in the genre of music of that he's a part of, you know, that's tagged with being, you know, masculine.
But let me ask you this, though, Frank. Is Frank, you know, you're not saying, you know, and nobody's not introducing him as Frank Ocean, the gay rapper. That's
no.
my point. You know what I'm saying? He's still Frank Ocean.
Right.
Right?
I think it's sort of different when you got a singer and then you got an athlete. You understand?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of
when they, so when they say whatever, the, you know, it's so and so. He's the gay. Oh, you know him. He's the gay guy that plays for the Lakers. I don't, you know. But you're right. You're right. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's probably how it's going to be.
Yeah, because
right. Again, those sports are equated with masculinity, and you know that's it is what it is with that. You know, the masculinity part when they feel that or they see that there's some flaw in your masculinity, you will always be tagged with that.
Right. 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 Wow, man. I mean, I understood it to be a situation where you really had to be, you know, strong in your convictions and really, you know, you'll definitely see who's in your corner, you know, when you make a decision like that, you know. But, you know, it's a lot harder, I guess. It's a lot harder than, you know, it seems on the outside. I'm on the outside looking in as far as that's concerned. But
I think he's going to have some people that's going to be in his corner and some that's not. But it's going to take them some time to get in his corner to build what they had at first. Like, if he was cool with them. Because you got some people out here that's, how do you say, homophobic? Yeah, you got some people that's actually like that. And
yeah.
If he's playing on a team and they didn't know it at that time, I think they're going to come across, but it's going to take them some time to come across to get to where everybody else is.
I understand that. I think it's gonna have to manifest itself in him playing well every time he steps on the field. He's going to have to bring his A game every time, so that this way it does not become, oh well, you know, that's why he's failing, must be having a bad relationship, you know, where those comments don't follow him.
I don't agree with that part, but I think if he played his own game, because same way a guy that's straight, when he had that issue with his girlfriend, we're going to say the same thing. So listen, that I could care less. If the same friends that he had that knew him through football, that he kind of say, go stay with him the same way, it's just he's gay.
But if the same friends that knew him, you know, before football and through football, they had probably have an idea that, you know, he was gay.
Right. But you also may have those that is friends, but then, you know, because they may be associated with, you know, being gay, they may want to kind of distance themselves once that person comes out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they don't want to be associated with that. That's where the tolerance piece comes in.
Yeah.
That's true too. They were never friends. Like I said, that's why you know your friends through the adversity. You don't know. He's gonna know his friends through this adversity.
Right. That's right.
Absolutely.
He's gonna know who's in his corner. He's gonna definitely know who's in his corner.
Absolutely. In a time of crisis, those that step up, you know who they are.
Right.
He's about to go through. He's definitely gonna understand who his friends are.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But when does it turn from being okay when, you know, like after the shock wears off and after he did the talk show circuit and he's going to write his book and he's going to do this, he's going to do that, because you got that boxer Orlando Cruz. He's, you know, he's gay and he came out and, you know, he's, you know, holding himself down and standing in his corner and being proud of who he is or whatever. He's knocking people out.
Well,
he's a boxer. But word up though, I guess that's a little example or whatever, you know.
Right.
I mean, boxing and football, I mean, it's sports. So
Absolutely.
That's why they go hand in hand, common. So I think that maybe if he was a more prominent or more known, but as he, you know, continues to knock people out and move up in the ranks, he's gonna get more, you know, he's gonna be, you know, known more for doing what he does.
Exactly.
But he's still gonna be introduced as the, you know, first, you know, openly gay fighter or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? When does that label go away?
The position that he'll play.
Right.
I mean, in the sense that he will make sure that those that are coming underneath him that are feeling comfortable enough to come out, they'll be able to because they have that role model.
Right.
I agree with that. Like I said, you know what? This is a blow off. He's going to play football. He's got his teammates. That's all that counts. Whatever team it is, if it's the Chargers, whatever. Dan Riley behind him. He's a part of the Chargers family. That's it.
Why you keep saying the Chargers?
Because I said the Chargers. I didn't know. Somebody said the Chargers.
I see. We don't want to go there, Kia, do we? You know what I mean? And what I'm saying, I'm not trying to be funny, but what I'm saying is like, okay, now you said somebody said the Chargers, somebody said this, somebody said that. You don't want to get into, you know what I mean, start pointing fingers at people now who, you know, his pants is a little bit high. He might be suspect. You know, now it's kind of like everybody's trying to figure it out. Huh?
I see how he tackled him.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Why he got... He's doing a
double-edged sword.
Why
they
keep calling him for holding?
Why he was talking so long?
Yeah, the play was over 5 minutes ago.
You seen that face he made after he got up in the camera?
The fumble. He been recovered the fumble. Then get over us.
Well, regardless of whose team it is, if I say the Chargers, but if he's the Pittsburgh Steelers, I could care less. As long as he don't drop no passes, he catching the ball, whatsoever, I don't care.
That's what it is. Hold on for a second. T, what's good? You back on the line with us?
Yeah.
All right, that's what it is.
Yep.
Yeah, we still talking about the homosexual, you know, this one to come out, you know.
Okay.
But again, like you said, Key, as long as he's producing for your team,
right.
It don't matter what he does.
Because neither one of us is in his area, in his space.
Right.
So I don't care. If he's playing with the Steelers, he whatever, I should care less. As long as he don't miss that tackle, I ain't worried about it.
But what happens with it? Well, as a Steelers fan, okay, you're taking me somewhere where I want to go. What happens when he does drop that first down or, you know, makes that offside?
That's what they're going to say.
That's what's going to be tested.
That's what's going to start coming out. They're going to start making those comments that don't relate to anything to do with this game. You know, they're associating that with his sexuality.
No, I truly say they're going to make those types. You know what? I could come the same way Brown dropped a pass. He ain't gay. He jumped in half, we cut the Brown out. So you're going to cut this guy out because he's DK and we cut Brown out. That'll go with that. I'm not buying that because Brown and Wallace, we cut them out the whole season.
But the point being, the difference in that is, kid, is that this dude already announced that he's gay, right? You already know. He already announced it. Not that it matters.
Exactly.
He already announced
he said it. Yeah,
you know what I mean? So now all of a sudden, and it just so happened to be, he plays on the Steelers. We're just hypothetical. He plays for the Steelers. You got a big game. You're playing the Baltimore Ravens, blah, 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 blah. It's a big first down. He's wide open, and the ball is slipped out of his hands. All right? So, I mean, as your first response as a Steelers fan is going to be what? We know.
We know you're going to come out anyway, but now this gives you a little bit more.
Breaking it, Blake.
The ball was slippery. And first thing, I'm going to come out now.
That's going to be the first thing to come out of your mouth.
That's not
going to
come out of my mouth,
because
I'm
going to
go worry about that.
It may not come out of your mouth, but it might come out of somebody else's.
Yeah, definitely.
They don't need much
money
now.
Mike, you're making me laugh. I'm sorry. That's not making me
laugh. We didn't even have to finish conversation on this part.
But it goes the same all the way across the board, though. If, you know, baseball, basketball, football, whatever. If he's a teammate, he's a teammate. It's whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I'm quite sure you see examples of, you know, some people, you know, they dress a little differently or whatever. You may call it what you want to call it or whatever. That's them. They still doing them.
Exactly.
When they go out on the court, they ain't dressed like that. They all got on a uniform.
And again, when it deals with sexuality, you wouldn't know unless they told you.
Right. So
I mean, it's not like being black. It's not like being, you know, it's not like it's blatant. It, you know, it is what it is, but you wouldn't know unless somebody said something to you and told you that.
That's right.
You know, if they choose to be free enough to come out and say it, as long as they ain't trying to pick up on you,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
It
shouldn't be no problem.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest fears that people have that are homophobic, that they're gonna be trying to date you. They ain't trying to date you. You ain't date tight. You know what I'm saying? So,
I'm glad
play their game and do this.
Like, yo, I respect you for what it is. You know what I mean? And
that's
we talk, we have conversations and all that. But all that other, no, man.
That's why I think he probably could care less what anybody said. I'm thinking that's what he needs to do is have thick skin and could care less what anybody has to say. Play your game. Because like I said, whatever team he's on, I could care less.
Is this the right time though? Is the climate right? I mean, as far as like
he can say whatever he wanna say it.
I think so.
I think so,
especially when there's a lot of debate about, you know, marriage and being in relationships. I think this is the right time because, again, you're talking about acceptance, about tolerance, but you
mm-hmm.
also are talking about someone who is comfortable enough with who they are to say, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
Accept me. I'm going to do my job. And as long as I'm doing my job, you can't, you know, there's nothing else to judge me
right.
on.
That's right.
And I think that would set a precedent, not just for, you know, homosexuality, but for anything, any situation, no matter what your difference is or what, you know, what you may have as a shortcoming or as a difference, as a tolerance.
Mm. That's what it is. And I mean, you know, in a perfect world, we could be who we wanted to be without any, you know, stigmas or anybody trying to, you know, fire darts at us or whatever. But again, like you said, you know, it all boils down to the tolerance and being able not to ignore it, but to understand and accept it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, you may be right-handed. I'm left-handed. You know
exactly.
what I mean? So, I mean, that's the difference between us right then and there. You know, but we have things in common. We're black. We like our hip-hop, whatever. But the things that we have in common, the things that separate us, shouldn't make us not want to know who each other are.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not all of a sudden, like Mike said earlier, you know the guy for years. You've been playing with him for years, you know what I mean? You know, pause. But, you know, you've been, you know, playing, you know, ball or whatever. And then all of a sudden, now because they made this announcement, now, you know, you're looking at it from a different aspect. You already done seen him. You've been in circumstances, you know, where, you know, but you didn't think about it then, and they didn't make no advance towards you, so it didn't matter. But now all of a sudden you start flashing back to, oh, man, I was with this.
Let me throw this off the top. Let's just step off the topic. Tiger Woods, I know, just became number one.
Right.
Even though there's a controversy because he cheated on his wife. But nobody, and it was true what this guy said. Nobody talk about Michael Jordan cheating. Nobody talk about Larry Bird cheating. They all Hall of Fame. Nobody talk about Dr. J cheating. But we all riding my, we are 3 years, I guess it's 3 years, right, for Tiger Woods with this affair or whatever, whatever. Why is he being scolded and still by the media, by these groups, because he had an affair on his wife?
I'm going to let Ashley,
you had a floor on that one.
And you, they brought the subject about the athletes, well, you know, like, you know, the three black men, the black athletes. Like Dr. J, you know, Michael Jordan, and we're talking about, you know, these guys Hall of Fame who had fans outside the Navy. And I'm like, well, you know, the people just asked me, I said, well, yeah, it's going to be people because Tiger Woods became number one the other day.
Right. But and I think with Tiger Woods, when he married that Holy Grail, you know, blonde hair, blue eye, and then ended up cheating on her. And I think that the minute that came out, that just gave him fuel, and it kind of took him out of his game to where he kind of got lost, and then he had to find his way back to the top.
Right, but now he's back at the top. You know, the endorsements was going.
And he's still dating a blonde-haired, blue-eyed chick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for anybody on this thing
about the more things change, the more they stay the same.
He ain't learned nothing yet, and they're going to love him right now until he get caught cheating again, and he's going to be dirt again. They're going to dog him out again. He's going to lose some more endorsements.
Well, Lindsey Vonn, Lindsey Vonn is an athlete, and if she catch him with a left hook, it's going to be a wrap.
For real.
It's going to be a wrap, for real, for real. But, I mean, again, like,
I was,
you know.
I was reading the article. Well, you know, listen to the guy, they were talking about it because they all riding this thing about, I don't care, you know. Well, you know, Dr. J cheated on his wife, Michael Jordan cheated on his, so-and-so cheated on his. I don't know why.
They all did. After the game for them, they're going to pounce on them.
It runs the gamut. It runs. Look at Larry Johnson with all his kids. And look at Antonio Cromartie with the 8 kids by 6 different ladies in 7 different states.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it runs the gamut, yo.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, does that take away from the fact that how many championship rings that, you know, this person won or how many times they made the All-Star game? No.
Not at all, because we'll still buy their jersey. We'll
That's
still
right.
buy their sneakers.
Oh,
we'll
yeah,
still
yeah,
patronize them as a player.
And the fact of the fact matter whether that they take care of their kids or not has nothing to do with us.
Nope.
As fans.
We
want to
know, though, because we want to know. We want to find out what's going on, but it ain't going to stop the game from being played, nor is it going to stop us from hearing about it.
When I heard Dr. J was cheating on his wife, and he had that, his daughter is that tennis player girl, I forgot her name. She's a tennis player.
Exactly.
I'm like, so what? Dr. J, it didn't take away. I mean, you know what I mean? So he has a life. Okay, he is mortal. You know what I mean? That's how I looked at it, like, oh, snap.
He's human.
You know, he's human. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they take away, you know, I didn't look at him as any less of a basketball player because, you know, he got, you know, a kid outside his marriage or whatever the case may be. You know, look at O.J. Simpson. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, even with, you know, the stuff that he's accused of doing or whatever, he still have has a bust in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Nicole's family didn't have a problem with him ripping her behind. They just had a problem, you know what I'm saying, when the money stopped coming in.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean,
if
you're going to take O.J. Simpson out of the Hall of Fame, take Ty Cobb out of the Hall of Fame. Because he was a racist. So, I mean, you might as well just clear all the Hall of Fame. Ain't nobody perfect.
There you go.
So, before you can start saying, well, so-and-so is this and so-and-so is that, let them be who they are.
Exactly.
Everybody's playing
with everything else that could be wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And he ahead of the game.
You know, so, I mean, you know, I was in a conversation, and people were saying, like, well, sports does reflect society. And they're absolutely correct. They're absolutely right. But for us to really, you know, sports to really reflect society, in my opinion, I think that it has to be more tolerant as far as accepting, you know, gay and lesbian. And I think it's happening already. It's in the WNBA.
Yeah.
It's in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to be the big problem with it being in baseball or being in football or being in basketball? Not that it isn't already, but it just isn't known.
Right.
And whoever that first person is going to be and takes that leap of faith is going to be a pioneer.
And, you know, it's funny you should say that, you know, sports reflect society. When I was in college, I took a class called Sports as a Religion. It was a philosophical class where we looked at sports as a religion. You know, the people in the congregation and the athletes being those, you know, almost like the clergy where you every Sunday or, every, you know, you were sitting in front of the TV.
That's right.
And there was a sermon going on.
And
the minute that they show, you know, signs of being a human or mortal, we kind of now turn our backs on them if they don't coincide with what our idea of what it should be to be on top or to be a, you know, to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, and again, that brings back to the important part about, again, when you look at these kind of things, what they can teach us is, if nothing else, is about tolerance. You know, if that commercial that, you know, Charles Ruffley has about, I'm not a role model, the hell you are. You really are a role model. You know,
you may
not want to take on that job, but it is what it is, and you have to be, you know, if you're going to wear that cape, you got to make sure that you're able to take on all of the accolades and the responsibilities that come with that. And sometimes when you have that kind of mentality of, you know, this is who I am, and I'm gonna be free enough to be who I am, it sets a precedent for others to follow behind you if that's what they choose to do.
Right. That's right. I mean, look at it from the aspect of even when you try to subliminally or subconsciously change an aspect of a game. I'm gonna give you an example. 1992 Michigan Wolverines basketball team. Okay. With Jalen Rose and Chris Webber and Jimmy Jackson, okay? The Fab Five, they changed the whole kind of like aura.
Absolutely.
You know, with the baggy shorts, the bald heads, the black socks.
Straight
hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? So they were like, quote unquote, the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like when they played in the NCAA, now we talked about this, it goes back to the NCAA tournament when they were playing against Duke. in the finals. So it was like, you know, here we go with Duke, you know, the, you know, coming on the white horse, the good guys playing against Michigan, the Baldies, you know, the mean faces on
they
the court, and you know what I mean. So you know, they were labeled. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? So it's always going to be a good against a bad element. So what side of the fence does the gay element land on? Is it the good side or the bad side? I don't think that I think that's the argument. What side do you fall on? If you're for it, then are you, you know, you're pro-homosexual, or if you're against it, you're anti-homosexual. I just, you know, it's too much stuff.
It's too
much.
I don't think
it's
no falling on nobody.
It's too much.
It's how you're going to take it. It's how you're going to accept it. That's how it is. It's how you going to accept it. You can't worry about what nobody, how you going to accept it. How I'm going to accept it, I'm fine about it.
No,
how
I can care less.
That's up to you. I can care less. I'm not
right.
Sure. I don't care. So it's how individuals accept it. That's it.
Right.
So
we're going
to all act like, so what you think? I don't care less what A says or B says. I know what I think, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely going to have our critics. So I know. Come on, guys, I know that art knows football players. They already don't like this, and they already beefing about this now on Facebook. But I'm already hearing the nasty comments. So I'm like, please. Oh,
Right. And the ones that, to me, Kia, the ones that make comments like that really just, you know, I don't know. They just, you know, they don't get it. I just say it like that. They don't get it.
I'm not worried about their comments. Their comments on this group influence me. This is if anybody comments influence you, then you need to wake up and realize that, you know, you don't have to follow what everybody else is doing. I always say, I don't do what everybody else is doing. I don't care less what anybody else is doing. I'm just not going to do what anybody else is doing.
Right.
Yeah. And that's an enlightened position to take. But unfortunately, when you in the spotlight and everybody's watching you, and you know your money or your lifestyle is determined by whether or not people like you or not, you have to be, you know, people have to tend to be very cautious about what kind of decisions that they make. And that's the unfortunate part, because you got people that are, you know, that are very careless. Look at Plastico Burgess with the shooting of his leg, and Michael
right.
Vick, and all
yeah.
these kind of things. And these kind of behaviors are almost, they're not acceptable, but they have been forgiven on some level about their behaviors. But coming out about your sexuality is something that may not be as tolerant as what these other brothers have gone through.
Right.
That's the unfortunate part.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely going to face some adversity. He's definitely going to, that's something he's going to have to deal with. But he's coming out that day.
Yeah. And then, you know, and again, he, in order for him to be free, he has to be who he is. And
yeah.
He has to.
You know,
about it.
I think for him to do that, that means that he's made a conscious decision to say, I don't care what anybody thinks.
Exactly.
Right.
Me.
Exactly.
And you love me,
I mean,
you hate me.
Keep holding
at the
it
end
in,
of the day,
probably,
I'm good.
It probably was messing with him, for real, for real.
Absolutely.
You know, because if it wasn't, he would never came out with it.
Right.
I
and
agree.
this is something that just didn't happen overnight either.
Of
course
not.
That's
you
true.
Know?
That's true. And it's bubbling. It's, as we speak,
yeah.
it's bubbling. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that, to me, the thing that's bugging me out about it is that they're worried more about the response of the general public, the paying
mm-hmm.
fan, the one who pays for those tickets, the one who pays that cable bill to watch them play. They're
right.
worried about how they're all of a sudden they're going to turn their TVs off now. They're going to stop
no.
going to the game.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
They're going to watch the team. They may individually dog out that player if
right.
they're not tolerant enough.
Right.
They won't turn on the team because as a watcher or as an audience, as a viewer, they want to be a part of something. You know what I mean?
So we're gonna turn the TV off. We got 52 players. We're gonna turn the TV off for one player.
For
nah,
one guy.
They want to be a part. They're gonna look at all the fans and what they're willing to do.
Are you kidding me?
For a game or to watch a game or to be, you know, to be in that audience or to be on
yeah.
that crowd. They willing to do anything.
But you know what? They're going to dog him out for a while like they do all the other players when they do dirt.
Absolutely.
And then
Absolutely.
It's going to be over. It's going to be water over the bridge, you know. But you're going to always have some dummy that's going to come up.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
He gay.
Oh, yeah.
He gay. So what? I mean,
and
like they talk about Michael Vick.
Exactly.
And it's been years.
Vick is a lot of beating. Vick is real.
I think that's a good example that people are Michael Vick, because you know he was the man, football player, quarterback, this and that. you know, the all-star dude, everything. And then when they found out about him and the dogs, it was trash.
And you still have people that don't like him, that even been threatening.
To this day, that's right.
Right, because he was going to do that book store, and he had to cancel it because they were threatening him.
Right, they was making death threats and all
but
that.
But they liked him enough when he was on that field.
That's right,
you're
absolutely right.
You know what I'm saying? So they will love him. They have conditions on their love. That's what it is.
Yeah.
As long as he's on that field, we love you.
Right.
Did you come on that field? We got it. We might not. We might go.
Yeah,
you know,
we gotta check that out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's not the average football fan.
It'll die down for a minute. Soon as football season is over, you won't hear nothing. Soon as it starts back, well, he gay, but you only gonna have a few.
Right.
Yeah.
He's gonna catch y'all at the beginning. He's definitely gonna catch it, but it's only gonna last for a minute.
No doubt. Another Tuesday, man, and come and go, man. We got like 5 minutes left in the show. You know how we do it, man. GQ Palace, after further review in the building. We got everybody do a little round table. Everybody say what they got to say. Any comments on the week before we get out of here? Half Pint, I'm going to let you set it off before we get out of here.
I just want to thank you for the love and support again. You know what I'm saying? Check out that Son of Berserk, well thought out. And you can also check us at YouTube. And be sure to make sure to understand that our new stuff is coming out real soon.
That's what it is. And keep checking in with us. We're going to keep supporting.
Absolutely.
That's what it
is. Absolutely. I appreciate it.
No doubt. T, what's good? You got anything to say before we get out of here?
Yeah. All I can say, it is what it is. Dude want to be free. He want his brain free. So, hey, go for it. And go Phillies.
No doubt. Kia, you got anything to say before we get out of here?
You know what? I don't. You know, he's coming out. He's going to have his teammates behind him. He's going to have fans. People going to say what they want to say. He's here to play ball. That's his bottom line.
Exactly.
I don't care. I've seen the tag in the Twitter, the what's-the-name comments about this all day today. I'm like, wow.
Right.
We already know what's going to be success when you come out full-blown.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, so another Tuesday, man, coming on. Shout out to the callers who checked in with me, man. T, shout out to you. Shout out to Kia. Shout out to Half Pint, Son of Berserk in the building all day. Shout out to my man Mike, Rich Money in the building, you know what I mean? Shout out to Miss Lavina on the bell and all that. It's been a hectic week, man. You know, before we get out of here, I just wanted to say baseball season, my time of the year, about to set off on Sunday night, man. Rangers and the Astros. NCAA tournament, Sweet 16, still in full effect. It jumps back off on Thursday night. Just be peace, man. Do what you do, man. And again, at the end of the day, man, if your tolerance level is not high, man, then you need to, you know, do something about your tolerance level, man. Shout out to everybody, man. After further review, GQ Palace Sports is in the building, man. Check out the ladies tomorrow night, man. Check out the big homie on Friday night, man, as he does his thing live and direct. Check out my man Dallas on Mondays. You know how he do it. Hard body karate and all that. You know what I mean? Make sure the kids' ears are covered and all that. But then it'll be rolled back around to Tuesday, and we'll be right here at the same spot, 8 o'clock, GQ Palace Sports. After further review, the mayor is in the building. Rachel, I see you. Shout out to Half Pint, man. We ain't here, man. I talk to y'all next week, man. I ain't got nothing else to say, man. We out, man. Cue the music. Peace.
I am in and out the country, in and out the state. I am Brooklyn, I will go in and out your face with them razors. Guns. I am strong arm robbery. I am Quincy Street, no strength, Marcy. Wolves and gorillas attacking with no warning. I am that rah rah rah, 4 a.m. I am Bed-Stuy, Brownsville. I am never shook. I am Clinton Street, bigger than that. I'm Red Hook. I am BX certified Bronx farmer, Mr. Brown Place, the shield and the armor. I am Willis Ave. I am Brook. 138 MR Colonel, I am gonna get it straight. South Bronx, North Bronx, 3rd Ave, Fordham, unfazed by the fame, unaffected by the stardom. I am more than a star, can't see. him, can't smell him. Who he think he is? This is what I tell him. I think I'm Brooklyn. Get to my face. I think I'm Bronx. Yes. Mr. Brown place. I think I'm Harlem.
Yeah.
I'm that ill. Grand Projects. Manhattanville. I think I'm Y.O. Quiet down. The race place is square. Riot town. Charlotte and B-more. I'm that kid. I think I'm New York.
Yeah.
I'm that kid. I really think I'm Harlem. Look at how I diddy bop. Icy. Fitted on lean. And the semi cock. AZ. Alpo. Rich in the 90s. I'm feeling myself. And I think they like me. 125th Street. I dare you to follow. I think I'm the Cotton Club. I think I'm Apollo. Molotov. Cocktail. Throw it in the air. Harlem world. We getting money over here. I think I am Y.O. Clark Street. Cadman. Palisade. To the square. I get up in your ass there. Whip me up. Slow bar. I show you how to do a play. Come through Runyon and air. You go on Booday. Lawrence. Tuckahoe, you could really see that. I think I am Oak Street. Show me where the trees at. One man gang, can't see him, can't smell him. They like, who we think he is? This is what I tell him. I think I'm Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
In my face. I think I'm Bronx.
Yes.
This is Brown Place. I think I'm Harlem.
Yeah.
I'm that ill. Grand Projects. Manhattanville. I think I'm Y.O. Quiet down. The race waits in the square. Riot town. Charlotte and B-more. I'm that kid. I think I'm New York.
Yeah,
I'm that kid. I think I am Charlotte. Soldiers, line up. Meet me at the lick. Meet me at the wind up. South Charlotte, North Charlotte. Call me a savage. I run through both. I'm W.T. Harris. I am Baltimore, gorillas that spray rounds. Heavy at the harbor, heavy on the Greyhound. Orioles, Ravens, birds in the air. When the blue lights flash, you can't come around here. I am New York to the motherfucking death of me. Put my heart into it, then I give them what's left of me. I am 34th Street, I am Times Square. I am Johnny Pump, get a can, spray it in the air. I am graffiti, spray painted on the train. I am concrete, potholes, blocking the lane. Who we think he is? That's because they can't smell him. Turn around, salute. This is what I tell them. I think I'm Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Get to my face. I think I'm Bronx.
Yes.
This is Brown Place. I think I'm Harlem.
Yeah.
I'm that ill. Grand Projects. Manhattanville. I think I'm Y.O. Quiet down. The race waits in the square. Riot town. Charlotte and B-more. I'm that kid. I think I'm New York.
Yeah.
I'm that big.